Let us explore the Bible together on Glorious Morning Study Hour on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Now, as we conclude the theme that we've been running with in the Bible Principles segment for the week, the second coming of Christ, we want to address the issue of the Adventist in this Advent. The name Seventh-day Adventist itself carries a dual promise. Number one, a Sabbath rest promised by Jehovah, that they will retain a Sabbath rest even into the end of time, Hebrews chapter 4, but also of the second advent, as he promised, I will come again. Pastor gave us this on John chapter 14. But how does believing in an event that hasn't happened yet change the way a person lives, the way they work, the way they treat their neighbors daily? How does it affect us on a daily basis that we've got these belief systems? Is it the blessed hope? Is it meant to make us more faithful, more fearful, or is it the ultimate source of joy? Today we are discussing the practical impact of the Advent on a daily life, how the urgency of Christ's return fuels the global mission of service, and why the believer, that's you and I, my friend, is best and is truly yet to come. That which is yet to come is our best yet. And Mfundisi Busangabanye joins us now on the line to help conclude this discussion with us. Pastor, good morning and welcome once again.
Good morning, brother, and good morning to all the brothers and sisters listening. I hope it's a beautiful and blessed morning all of us today.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed, Demuruti. A blessed day that the Lord has granted us. And we appreciate you, by the way, joining us as we conclude this series. Thank you for coming through.
Thank you. It's a pleasure. I'm so grateful and honored to be here.
Amen. Amen. So, Mfundisi, we're talking about the impact of the Advent in our daily lives. Well, how does the term Adventist reflect the core identity of a people, a movement, and its mission to prepare people for the second coming of Christ?
Well, thank you. Thank you, Brother Derek, for that question. This almost takes us to basic definitions so that it doesn't look like we are talking churches and denominations. Yeah. Just the word itself, Advent, it simply means arrival. Okay, so when you're talking of an arrival of something, it's the advent of something. People always talk of the advent of the Iron Age, the advent of television. It's when a certain thing happened. Mm-hmm. Now, but in this particular context, when you talk of Seventh-day Adventist, now what then is an Adventist? Now, Adventist now simply refers to that person, okay, to the person who is waiting the arrival of something. Mm. So that's an Adventist. Mm-hmm. Now, in this particular context, we are talking and we've been talking about the arrival of Jesus Christ, the imminence of the second coming of Christ. So the word itself is the same one, the name Seventh-day Adventist, it's a sermon.
Okay.
It is preaching that there is one who is coming, and his coming is imminent and is soon. And in this context, clearly it is Jesus Christ. So every day that name is shouting to the world and to everyone that, hey, there is someone who is coming. There is someone who is coming. The name Methuselah, for example, was preaching the imminence of the coming of the flood. So every day it was preaching that there is a flood that is coming. There's a flood that is coming. Elijah's name, my God is Yahweh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He was proclaiming that I'm not worshiping Baal as the king. So every day his name, the name Elijah, was preaching that there is one God, and this God is Yahweh. So it's not unusual that a name preaches a message. And in this particular context, it's exactly what you've rightfully said. Seventh-day Adventist, it's preaching the seventh day as the Sabbath of the Lord. Yeah. The seventh day of the week is the Sabbath of the Lord. But Adventist also preaches that there is one whose arrival is imminent and is coming, and that is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So we can't run away from this message. It is preaching and it is preached even whilst we are passive, yet we're actively preaching about the second coming of Jesus Christ.
Just an introduction already is a sermon in and of itself. Now, Moruti, let's talk about the second coming, right? The second coming, and when you hear about this advent that we're talking about, sometimes when you read in scripture, it's not sounding like it's a good thing. Malachi says in verse number 5, see, I will send the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord. You know, when you read Revelation chapter 6, you know that there's a call for people to say, hey, hide us from the wrath of this lamb. Please, mountains, fall on us. Please, rocks, hide us. Because it seems like it's such a fearful event. How do people then refer to this as a blessed hope rather than a fearful event?
Oh, thank you very much. It honestly just depends on whose side are you on. I think the Bible is clear from the beginning. There are always two sides as far as the subject of salvation is concerned. The Bible has been clear. There's the narrow path. There's the wide path. There's the goats. There's the sheep. Mm. So there's the wheat. There's the tares. So there are two sides to the story of salvation. Mm-hmm. And it all depends which side one is leaning on, which side one is on. So, indeed, to those that are not prepared, to those that are not ready for the second coming of Jesus, it's going to be a dreadful day. Hey. But listen now what the Bible says to those that are ready for his coming. I read Malachi chapter 4, verse 1 through 3. The Bible says, for behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven. Mm. And all the proud, listen, yes, all who do wickedly will be stubble, and the day which is coming shall bend them up, says the Lord of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. Now, this is to one side, so definitely a dreadful day. But listen to what the verse 2 says. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. Listen to these nice words. You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the sole of your feet on the day that I do this, says the Lord. Now listen to Matthew 25, verse 34 again, confirming that it is indeed the blessed hope. Then the king will say to those on the right hand, come you, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Then I will refer to the text that we have been reading throughout the week, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. Mm-hmm. Why is it the blessed hope? It is the day of the resurrection of the righteous, of the saints, of those that died in this hope that he is coming again. So indeed, it depends where you lie, which choices we've made in life. For those that have believed in him, it is indeed the blessed hope. The day when all this suffering shall come to a gravitational halt. The pain that we go through, all will be brought to an end. And it shall be a day of joy, the day of reunion with our loved ones. So it is a day that every believer should look forward to. The diseases that we're talking about, the pestilences, the famine, the wars will come to an end on that day. We are suffering every day. We are in pain, in tears every day. So on this day, all this will come to an end. And thus, like Titus says, it is the blessed hope.
Amen.
But
Amen.
Only for those that have believed in him. Mm.
I guess it's the choice then is ours to say which side are we being found on, so that we can be ready. Now, you make mention of a preparation that is then necessary, Moruti, to be found on either side. How can the listener get ready?
How can the listener get ready? For God so loved the world, John 3:16. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So the call is clear. All we need is to accept Jesus as our personal Savior.
Okay.
Is to believe that he is coming again. And he instructs us through his word how we ought to live as we are preparing and as we are ready for his coming. I laugh at myself when I was looking forward to getting married to my wife. I started behaving differently. I would make sure.
Yeah.
And now I start reducing my time with the boys. I get home early.
Yeah.
I'm indoors. I'm doing all the right things because I was saying I can't do anything silly and stupid and miss on wedding with this powerful woman. Mm. So because I had this hope of this great day, I had to change a lot of things. I had to make sure I don't take some of the risks that I used to take even when I was driving. I changed even my speeds because I was saying, I cannot take risks that will harm me as I look forward to this day. So these are some of the things we do. We adjust even our lifestyles according to certain expectations and things we are looking forward to even in our daily lives. Yeah. But now we've got a greater hope. We are looking forward to something bigger like just our wedding day. We are looking for a bigger wedding day, the wedding of the saints and the lamb. So how much ought we to change the way we live? How much ought we to be like him, to be like Christ, and live as he lived? He gave us an example when he came on earth on how we've got to live our lives and be like him. Because when he comes, he is coming to those that have prepared themselves.
Yeah.
How? By being like him in how they live, how they eat, how they dress. Everything about our lives has to be aligned to his character. For when he comes, he's coming to take those whose characters are unto his character. That's how we ought to prepare. Read your Bible every day. Pray every day. By daily communion with Christ, we become more and more like him. By beholding him, we are also changed to be like him. So every day, worship, every day, communion with him is what will prepare us for his coming. Reading his word, studying his word teaches us how we ought to live. So brothers and sisters, I think as we come to the close of this, we've got to now to ask ourselves, are we ready? Am I ready? Am I like him? Am I not going to flee like the wicked when he comes? Am I prepared to meet him? Is my character ready to face and behold his glory, the splendor with which he will come in? If we still have a sin in our lives, in our hearts, we will not be able to stand that dreadful day.
Yeah.
Only those whose robes have been washed and those whose characters have been molded into his character will be ready to face him as he descends in the cloud, as he comes in glory, as he comes in that splendor. Only those whose characters are aligned with him will be able to stand that day.
Yes. Now is the time, now is the hour to get ready to ensure you are molded into his likeness. Muruti, I want us to wrap it up with the dual-fold application of this idea of preparation to say, is there anything we can do to hasten his coming or to delay his coming? I mean, the other day you were talking to us about Matthew 24:14 and the urgency then to say, if we know he's coming, surely we must tell someone about this.
Indeed, like Matthew 24, you've just referred to the text. The Bible is clear. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Then the end shall come. So God has given us a special message to preach to the world that will hasten the coming of Jesus Christ. And what is this message? It is the gospel of the kingdom. It's not just preaching any other and every other message that we now hear many preachers, prophets and priests, pastors alike preaching all over. Not every one of what people are preaching today is the gospel of the kingdom. But God is specific in the text. There is a special and specific message that has to be preached. And God has given such a message to a special group, the remnant of his people, to preach the three angels' message. The message of the last warning to this dying world. A message that is calling us to worship God, the creator who made the heavens and the earth, and no one else. A message that calls of us to worship this true God on the day that he is even blessed as the day of worship. It's a unique message. It's not just a message, which is calling us to true Sabbath observance,
yeah.
The gospel of the kingdom, the three angels' message. If we are going to hasten the coming of the Lord as the remnant, as God's faithful servants, as God's faithful servants, this is the message of the time. The last warning message to this world to bring people to the true worship of God, the Creator who created this world and rested on the seventh day, blessed it, and told us, instructed us to worship Him on this day. This only will then hasten when this message is preached to all the world. Not that everyone will be converted, but as a witness,
yeah,
then the end will come.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you so much, Mfundisi Wami. Then the end will come. Mfundisi, appreciating you for taking us through this conversation this week and helping the matters become plain before us and inviting us in such a manner that we join the winning side, the side that is not going to be weeping and gnashing their teeth because they are found wanting. Thank you, Pastor. May God bless you. May He enlarge your territory and may you be found counted on the number that is saying, here is our Lord. He has come. He will save us. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you. God bless. It's been a blessing. May God bless you throughout the week.
Amen.
Bye.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.